With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from our basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the dessert, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome to another episode of the Podcastianos. I am Jordan Hall, and I am very excited to be rejoined by the Globetrotter himself, Mr. Eric Wayne. Eric, welcome home.
Oh, it's so nice to be home and hear your familiar voice again once again, Hall. Although I have to confess, I did listen to the last couple podcasts. Something about calling me a tool, I think, at one stage. Something like that. Making fun of me. That's fine.
It's one of those the cat's away, the mice will play type situations.
Yeah. I forget the context in which you called me a tool, but there could be any number.
It could have been literally anything. So you spent a week or so do-gooding south of the border. Now you sent me a picture with Miguel Cabrera.
Yes.
Were you able to smuggle him back into the country?
No. I was not. Unfortunately, but yes, the man at the airport who helped with our bags was named Miguel Cabrera. So I got a nice. It's not a selfie, is it? A selfie? A dual selfie?
I think we just kind of
an Aussie. Is it an Aussie?
I think that would be the technically correct term, but I think I would need to have a long, hard look in the mirror at myself if I started using that term regularly. I think just anytime you're taking a picture of yourself and whatever, I think that you're safe in calling it a selfie.
All right.
To not sound any more like a tool than as per usual.
Yeah. So me and Miguel Cabrera, we took a picture together. He's a little thinner and probably not as good of a hitter as the Miguel Cabrera we know and love.
It's probably healthier.
Could be.
I love that not only was his name Miguel Cabrera, but he was wearing that right on his shirt.
Yeah.
No mistake.
There was no question. Yep.
You scouted me. Oh, go ahead.
Just like the Miggy we know, he's got his name right there, Cabrera. You know, so everybody knows on his uniform. Smart.
That's true. Did you scout any local middle infielders while you were there? At the time, we didn't know how many we were going to have.
No, maybe I should have. I tell you what. So I was in Guatemala and doing some work in Central America there. And I tell you what, for middle infielders, the population there is short. So I don't want to bore you with too many Guatemala stories, but this one woman that we worked on a house for, she maybe came up to my belly button. She was just like the tiniest woman I've ever met. So, you know, good middle infielders, you know, maybe you could find somebody even shorter than Altuve, closer to the ground.
Altuve down there.
Yeah, it'd be great. Not a lot of baseball down there, I got to tell you, though.
So from the extreme south, you went to the extreme north. Turns out you are quite the fisherman. I would not have guessed that.
You wouldn't guess I'm good at really anything.
Except for frolf.
Not even that I struggle with. But yeah, I caught a pretty large fish. I sent you a fish picture.
Yeah, it was one of the largest fish I've ever, you know, I feel like I see fish, you know, I caught this, you know, that type of picture on Facebook all the time. Probably one of the biggest fish pictures like that I've ever seen. And for me, it really terrifies me that like crap like that lives in our lakes. Like,
oh, yeah.
Why are you swimming in that? You swim in pools.
And those things have teeth, too. It was a pike. So, yeah, it's got little jaws on it. Yeah.
You fry that thing up?
We did. We had a fish fry. We ate them all up.
Did you?
I have cousins who are youpers, so they know how to dismantle a fish with a fillet knife. So that works good. You take the bones out, cook them up.
Do you have to like drive the devil out of that ginormous thing before you cook it? Is that how it works?
They scream like a banshee when you remove their soul.
So that brings us to this week's leadoff question: who from Tiger's universe is the best angler / would tell the best fish stories?
I think they're right. So for angler, we have to go with an actual fisherman. And do you know who this is? This is Joel Zumaya.
Really?
Joel Zumaya in his post-pitching days fished a lot. In fact, there's a story about him, I think walleye fishing on Lake Erie and stuff. You got to look it up. But Zumaya was quite a fisherman.
I figured Jordan Zimmerman probably would be the best because he's from Wisconsin. I'm given to know that pretty much all they do there is what's winter fishing? Ice fishing. That's the word.
Ice fishing. Winter fishing works. Yeah.
That's typically when you would do the ice fishing. Yeah. And I could see Rod being kind of the ultimate fish storyteller.
Yeah, I would. For me, I think Kinsler would be good at fishing too, because he's good at everything. Ping pong, tiddlywinks. I want Kinsler just because he's kind of good at everything. Fish story, you know, I got to go with my man, Phil Koch. Wouldn't Phil tell the best story about anything? I could sit at Phil Koch's knee or at his feet and hear him tell stories about pretty much anything.
You know who would probably take the best picture with a fish would be Al. Just get him cheesing, pointing at that fish. I got to see that.
You know where the fish is. Yeah, it's right at the end of his finger. Point it. Another good fish story person would be Jim Leland.
Yes.
Wouldn't he tell a sweet fish story?
You wouldn't be able to understand it unless you got real close. Yeah, but. So before we get into the contact info, let's talk a little fantasy. We are doing another Podcastianos Listener Fantasy Football League this year.
Are we?
Eric, we're doing another one of those leagues. If you want to compete against Eric and I and other listeners from around this great state and possibly country, I don't know, send us an email at podcastianos@gmail.com with your name, Twitter handle if you have one, and a brief and hopefully amusing explanation of why you should be in the league. Make me chuckle.
If you want to pose as me and have a team for me, that'd be great too.
Oh, I thought you were going to say prize. Just a picture of somebody pointing up at where a fly ball appears to be.
Yeah, that's fine too.
And also, Eric, you don't have to be a part of this one, but I am leading a fantasy Premier League draft, hopefully in the next week or so.
Really?
Hoping to get like 6 or 8 teams. Never done it before. I think it will be a lot of fun. I can't promise
that's
that.
That's super nerdy, Hall. Super nerd
it
party.
It is what it is. I've come to grips with my soccer nerdness.
Sure.
So we'll give it a try. If it sucks, then I probably will stop paying attention regardless. But the goal is to get through the season. So if you're interested in that, you can send us an email to the same address. Put different things in the subject line so that I can tell them apart. That would be helpful. Podcastianos@gmail.com. On Twitter, I'm at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/podcastianos, and we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, we have some reviews. I have a couple funny ones to read to you. Are you ready?
I heard the teaser for this. I'm excited.
All right, the first one is from Super Awesome 12121212 etc. It is the subject line is the Don Kelly of podcasts. Here is the review. World-class banter from two guys who are some good Tigers fans. Eric is easily the best. Hey, I don't know how that got in. Had I read it closely enough, that one may have been omitted. Good power rankings.
Thanks, Mom.
Agreeable nature, all-around good guy. Jordan is okay. Seems a bit harsh. But is also a United fan, Yankees of the Premier League, and has a thing for a prospect who has a high ERA in double-A ball. I would assume that's Drew Verhagen. He's up now, so get that right. Still cool, though. Top-class memes and good Tigers talk make it worth a listen. What else is there to say except eat 'em up, Tigers, eat 'em up? That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
And
that wasn't all negative. Thank you.
Yes. Little 3 Chord Me says, my favorite sports podcast, period. Wow, that's lofty. Jordan and Eric are the perfect team of hosts. Jordan keeps the lid on with thoughtful and insightful topics. Meanwhile, Eric will range from goofy and lighthearted to Dad is yelling at the cable company again.
Cable companies are horrible. I tried to get cable at a particular address today, and I couldn't find out if a cable company serves that address or not. This is applicable today.
I had no idea how relevant this was going to be.
Oh, I hate cable companies.
Let's see, which is exactly what it feels like to be a Tigers fan these days. Touche. Yeah. If you're a girl who has a hard time dealing with the bro-y sports podcast, this one is different. It's just a couple of nice guys talking baseball with an occasional soundbite from Blaine Hardy and Eric's mom. True, we do have those. And Rawlings 411 broke pod and cast down into two words. That's the title, and it says, great show, lots of comedy and good commentary about the current and future Detroit Tigers baseball team. Boom.
Thank you. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for lying if you had to make it positive. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so if you want to hear your words read out, leave us another hopefully positive review, and we appreciate all of the nice things that you have said so far.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
Well, Eric, we have been rumored to be sellers for quite a while now, and we have now sold. It's been a long time coming in the lead-up, and we all knew it was coming. It was kind of just a matter of when. Are you glad that it's over with at this point?
Yeah, I am. But is it over? Of course. July 31 is the end of the non-waiver trade deadline or trade period, but we still could have waiver. And if you're going to trade Justin Verlander, he's going to get through waivers anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think there could be a smaller guy, maybe a Kins or something. I really have a hard time seeing Verlander going at this point.
I do too.
And maybe I don't want him to go, but
we're a better team with him.
Yeah. And to be honest, he's pitching so well right now. His value in my mind is only going to increase till the off season. I don't know, for whatever reason, there's kind of that magical cutoff that once the season starts, then his value starts to decrease a little bit again. But at this point, just hang on to him. I mean, he's our eight. Like, he is Detroit through and through. He's got an Eminem walk-up song, like Detroit through and through.
And I feel like the trade market really kind of softened at the end. They were talking, especially for position players, the market really dropped off. And what big position players got traded the last 2 days?
Lucroy was traded for a player to be named later. That was a guy who was big piece last year.
Yeah, the Todd father went early, right? And JD went relatively early. And those are the guys who moved to got anything.
Yeah, and I think I might have...
The position players.
I may have thought this thought myself, but I didn't say it, but... All the people that were trying to destroy Avila for, you know, let the market play out, you know, don't move JD so early. Turns out that he actually had the right idea that time. I don't know if he foresaw that or it just happened to work out for him. But, I mean, he certainly read that one correctly.
And JD, he was kind of in a box with JD. JD had to go. He wasn't going to give him anything besides 2 months of his presence. I mean, he had to get traded. So I think Avila did okay with that. It was fine.
Yeah. I actually, while you were gone, he moved. We discussed that in depth last week. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add, or you kind
not
of
about, to move not on? About JD. I think you did fine with that.
Okay. So, let's get into the sell-off. Obviously we sold in 2015, this was significantly less exciting, I would say. There wasn't that kind of seminal moment like, oh, dang, we just got Daniel Norris. Oh, man, we just got, you know, at the time we didn't know Michael Fulmer was this amazing. But it was still kind of like, okay, this is a building block piece. Now we learn more about him and go. Whereas we didn't really have that moment, I didn't think, this year.
I would say that's right. You have it further down in the notes here, but I think it's interesting that we got guys across the board. Really ready to go guys like Candelario and guys you can kind of dream on like King, right? And up and down the spectrum.
And I'm really curious to know if that's something that he purposefully sought out or if that's just kind of how it aligns. Because I would like to think that he had the foresight to think, you know what, I'm going to get a guy for each level. And you know, obviously it's not that straightforward. And, you know, he had to find guys he liked for each level. But that is kind of the forward thinking that I – would prefer to think that our GM is capable of.
You know, they get to decide where they send them, right? I mean, It's not like.
But that was those were the levels that they were playing on with their previous clubs. Don't even give me that nonsense.
I will sass you if I want to. I thought it was a neat coincidence. Probably not a whole lot of intentionality there, but it was good. Yeah. There is a link between the 2015 trade deadline and this trade deadline. Do you know what it is?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So we traded Cespedes for Fulmer and Luis Sessa, right?
Yep.
And Sessa was put with Chad Green to get Justin Wilson. And now Justin Wilson was sold off in the current trade. So
let's see. In 2 years, Candelario will become someone else? Is that?
Probably. Probably.
So let's sum this up. Gone are, you know, JD, Justin Wilson, and the heavily bearded Alex Avila. Who of the three are you going to miss most on, like, I really liked watching them play kind of level?
Well, of those three, I would have to say JD Martinez, right? Because he provided the most punch. But he was not a flashy player. Neither was Avila. I liked Avila just because he seemed like a super solid, you know, good clubhouse, fatherly kind of guy.
Yeah.
I always liked Avila. But, hey, we'll sign him again in the offseason, trade him away next time. That'll be fine.
I kind of feel good for him and Justin Wells. Like, clearly we weren't going to do anything with, definitely with Avila. And probably Wilson's going to be a free agent after the end of next season. We weren't going to win anything next year. Go to the Cubs,
right.
You know, and obviously he pitched much better before he got the closer's role. Wade Davis is there in Chicago, so he's not going to be closing there. I think there's a chance that he could go back to being, I mean, before we moved him into the closer's role, he was one of the most dominant relief pitchers in all of baseball. Not that he was bad as a closer, he just wasn't quite as dominant. I think he goes back to being that really immensely high upside left-handed relief pitcher for them, which is good. I don't know. Like, I have a soft spot for the Cubs. I don't know. I would prefer to see them succeed.
Yeah, especially with those two guys. I'd like to see him do good. Like I said, I cheer for the Diamondbacks and the Cubs now. I mean, they're still kind of Tigers in my mind, right?
Yeah.
We hope they do good. But I think they got a good haul for Avila and Wilson. I really think they did. I mean, when you look at Avila, sure, he had a hot beginning of the year, but he's only under contract for a couple more months. He has cooled off significantly.
He's kind of hurt.
He's kind of hurt. You know, he's... Despite what we saw at the beginning of this year, we kind of know what Alex Avila is, and we are seeking to platoon him or even maybe backup. So how much is somebody going to pay for a platoon or backup rental? Not a lot. Obviously, Wilson was the big part there, and to get a guy who's on the cusp of major league action in Alcantara, and then Paredes is the 18-year-old playing in the Midwest League and really holding his own. He had two hits tonight already for the Whitecaps. I think he's somebody you can really, really dream on. And then did we get one more guy in that trade?
There's the player to be named later possibly Cash, which, I mean, that could be somebody from this year's draft class. It could also not be. But, yeah, it really is kind of a nice package. Like, you know, I actually think that the deal is maybe a little bit more about Paredes. The comparison I saw was to Johnny Peralta / Dan Uggla. Those are two guys who had really nice careers. I mean, they were kind of both under the radar. You're not going to get a future
not very
Mike
mobile
Trout. Yeah,
not very mobile.
That fits the Tigers mold, if you will.
Right,
but you're not going to get a future Mike Trout for, you know, a left-hand reliever at the deadline. You're going to get somebody who hopefully eventually will become a really good, solid player for you. And I think Paredes profiles as that and maybe even a little bit more. I don't know.
But he's 18, right? We got three for sure, probably 4 years to see him Detroit.
Which is fine. I mean, that's
fine.
That's not a problem. Go ahead.
But back to Alcantara, like...
Candelario.
What's that?
Candelario. Alcantara is the one that came in the JD deal.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you. Candelario. Not Calendario, as I texted you. You have to start with Candle, not Calendar.
Speaking of, before we move on to whatever luminescent thing you're going to tell us, apparently they all call him Candy or the Candy Man.
Oh, yeah, well, that'll make
just thought I'd pass that along.
Okay, so for Candelario, if this would make really a lot of sense if this was on the cusp, if this was 2018 on the cusp of 2019, and Victor was on his way out. But we got one more year of Victor. Where does this guy go? Do you stash him and milk him one more year in the minors or play some kind of platoon role with him? Because right now we got three DHs, mm-hmm. and one of them's got to play third and one of them's got to play first. And by that, I mean Nick, Miggy, and Victor.
I think someone's moving to right field. I don't know if it's Candelario or if it's Nick, but I think somebody's moving to right field.
I don't want to stick Nick out there.
I would prefer it be the young kid too. But then you still have Nick playing third.
Outfield? Can he play outfield at all?
He can play. If you can play third base or first base at the major league level, you can play a passable right field. I'm fairly.
You say that like
that.
It's a true thing.
It is.
I call shenanigans.
He's versatile. He can play on both sides of the diamond. He's an athletic kid. He's not fast, but he's not slow. Dude can play right
speaking
field.
Speaking of Johnny Peralta, we stashed him in left field too. That he wasn't an outfielder. Stop it with that.
He could be,
I don't
as
know, maybe
good as Johnny out there.
But
and
yeah,
we're
I mean,
find that out because I would assume he'll get some outfield reps at AAA this year. I mean, there's no reason to not see what you have with him out there.
He'll probably be with the big club this year.
Possibly.
Right?
I mean, at least in September.
He's got a cup of coffee already with the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I genuinely think that I would prefer probably to see Nick get a shot out there. But, I mean, in theory, we need to rearrange some pieces at the start of 18. And obviously that's something that we can talk about far more when we get there. I have a...
When Victor's done, it's easy, right?
Yes.
Miggy goes to DH, Nick goes to first, and... Candelario goes to third.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
I have a quote here. This is from Theo Epstein, general manager of the Cubs. He said in spring training, speaking of Candelario, is another National League camp, they would be talking about him for Rookie of the Year. That's fairly high praise. I mean, obviously you
say
that about
your guy. Yeah.
Yeah, you say that about your guy, but still, that's not nothing. I think the real big selling point on Candelario for me is that he's been Avila's target this whole time. It sounded like Avila wanted him for Justin Wilson in the offseason. They're like, nah, I'm good. And then he finally got him this year, including Paredes with him. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't watched this Candelario much, but if it's somebody that he has sought out and you know, that's his guy. That's somebody that he's putting his reputation on. You know, I'm willing to trust it.
A lot of people are saying we got a better haul for Wilson and Avila than they got for Yu Darvish.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for Woodley Calhoun. I like a second baseman that can rake.
All right.
He reminds me of a really rich man's Ryan Rayburn, who can also play a little defense.
Wow. One note on Paredes. Is that how you say it? Paredes?
Yeah.
Paredes?
Something like
anyway,
that.
So he's playing for the Whitecaps now, which is insane because you're adding riches to an already amazing Whitecaps team, and they're just dominating people.
They're just rolling. It's amazing.
I know. Not that you should get excited about low-A baseball, but I don't know. It's kind of fun. They're rolling people.
Yeah, there are guys. I mean, most of them probably don't have super high major league upside, but I mean, that's still part. I mean, I feel like it's kind of rooting, you know, for a JV team that's really, really good. In the end,
yeah,
it doesn't actually really mean anything, but it's still kind of fun to get excited
about.
It'd
be kind of fun if they get up close to a playoff run here and then they throw Manning in that mix, just dropping the stud right in there. Here you go, son. Go pitch some big innings. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we need to plan an outing to go down and see them again. Hopefully see Paredes. Hopefully after Manning comes back. Yeah, I'm super excited about
yeah,
Paredes.
Derek Hill's back in there.
Yeah, you Hook was glowing about him last week. I know you have your doubts, but he was excited enough to suck me in just a little bit.
I don't know about Hill. He's kind of exciting with his wheels, but you got to have more than speed. But I'm willing to give him a chance. I mean,
even
if he can develop a little power,
Even if he is a fourth outfielder, defensive replacement specialist, there is a little bit of value in that. Pinch runner. Maybe your Gerard Dyson type.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, okay. He's got value. So we talked about that. We got five guys in the two trades, Candelario, Lugo, Alcantara, Paredes, and King. Who are you most excited about of the five? If you're like, you know what, I'm putting the Comerick Eric stamp on this guy. This guy's going to be my guy. Whose name are you getting on the back of the jersey?
I don't know. Just because he's so young and doing so well at the level, Paredes to me is intriguing. Now, I don't know if he'll stick at shortstop or not. They say eventually he'll probably move to one of the corners, but I don't know. I like him.
Yeah, Johnny Peralta was the size of the moon, and he stuck at shortstop. I'm willing to let this play out for Paredes. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't tell Lynn. That's all. Lynn Henning. What about Lugo? We haven't talked about Lugo at all. Dowell, is that how you say his first name?
Dowell? Could be something like that, yeah.
Lugo. He's got some love for him, maybe?
Yeah, I feel the same way about him as I do Candelario. Like, I don't think either of them are these massively high upside guys, but they're just solid ball players. Like, a lot of these good teams that, you know, obviously the Cubs have just an insane amount of talent, but they just keep bringing up guys that you can stick anywhere, good, solid ball players that can field, they can hit. And I feel like we've accumulated a couple of those through this trade deadline deals. I'm very good with how things have worked out, especially with those two.
Yeah, hopefully it'll put some salve on the wounds of losing Hernan Perez and Eugenio Suarez and all these kind of middle infielders that we've kind of let go too early. Maybe this will be our chance to find a stud or two out of that package.
Yeah.
What do you make of all these five guys being some version of an infielder?
I've
no outfielders and no arms.
I've no issue with it. Like, if two of these five guys turn out to be helpful, I'll be like, yeah, that probably worked out well. I mean, you got guys at rookie ball, at A ball. It is really hard to kind of project. You know, I'm not too awfully worried about what position they are. I feel like it's just kind of collecting assets. If these guys all turn out and we have a glut of infielders that are all young and great hitters, that is a decent problem to have. We can trade them to fill other holes.
But you have to have talent, right?
Yeah, exactly. And these guys all have talent.
Yeah, Avila must have said, hey, these are the guys I think can be something. So.
Yeah, and I have no issue staying away from adding arms. Obviously, you can never have too many arms. But the state of the arms in our system versus the bats in our system, the lineups, they needed an overhaul. And now we have, you know, as many infielders as we can handle.
Right. And if you look at the top 10 prospects that we have, guys like Manning, Burroughs, Funkhauser, Alexander, I mean, you look at Ravenel. I mean, we have some arms there that could be something.
Yeah, we have four top 100, like Baseball America top 100 prospects. We had one coming into the year. Things are looking up in old Detroit.
Such a sunshiner. Our team currently sucks.
They're not good.
Just let the record show.
They are not good. Speaking
you have
of,
to educate me on Tigers baseball over the last 2 weeks because I've like looked at the scores and stuff. But you need to, you know, tell me the essence.
I sent you those three emojis. Those are what happened.
I saw a lot of poop emojis after that tweet. I asked people to respond to the state of the Tigers in three emojis or less. There was a lot of white flags and flaming poos was what I saw.
That's pretty much been the case.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get on to some on-field stuff. So we are currently 8 games back going into – that was actually going into last night. I'm sure we're probably no closer now. Is it time to start trying the kids? Like, how do you strike that balance between still trying to put out a decent product and figuring out what you have in some of these youngins?
But the thing is, what kids do we have that are really knocking down the door? Who were saying, oh, we're robbing these people of a chance. I got to thinking about it, and especially for position players, I could not come up with any.
Well, Dick Dixon is the big one, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you could give Dixon some more run.
And I would like to see, I mean, obviously, now that Avila's gone, McCann is going to be in the lineup most days. Yeah. And yeah, like you said, Jacoby, that's the other one. When Presley was in the lineup, it like we know exactly what Alex Presley is. He has been a helpful player for this for us this year. He has played for 12 teams, you know, ballparking it there. Like everyone knows exactly what Alex Presley is. We don't know what Jacoby is, and we're not going to find that out until he gets a lot of at-bats.
Do you feel that way about Adusi too? Adusi's 32 years old. He's been everywhere.
In a weird way, I don't. Like, I wouldn't mind giving him some more at-bats down the stretch. Like, is he probably...
To see if he could be your fourth outfielder.
Yeah, exactly. Is he probably not going to end up being on the team when we're good again? Yeah, obviously. He probably isn't. But we wouldn't have said that about JD, you know, what? 50 at bats. Well, we might have 50 at. He started.
JD was like 28 or something like that, not 32, and had been everywhere.
Yeah, no, I mean the odds are stacked against him.
But how about Hicks? Hicks is a little bit younger.
I like Hicks, and the thing about Hicks is when you play him, you save on the wheels of Cabrera, which I don't mind doing that either.
Oh, play him at first, you're suggesting?
Well, I mean. Giving him some at-bats there. Just get Miggy off his feet, which we're not going anywhere this year. Save him. Try and get him going again for next year, if that's even possible.
How about – okay, so we need to play somebody in right field. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the ball will just land there if nobody's standing out in right field. Kristen Stewart, Michael Gerber, are you giving these guys a shot? They're both at double A.
There's kind of no reason not. I mean, I'm assuming you have to make a 40-man move, which there's some dead weight.
Do you want to see Tyler Collins again?
Absolutely. Tyler Collins definitely falls into the Alex Presley mold of you know exactly what he is.
With Jacoby Jones, he's just toolsy enough to say, oh, you know, if he could get his approach down at the plate, he can play a lot of defense.
Yes, exactly. The problem is not that everything can be related back to batting average, but dude's hitting like 230 down at Toledo. Clearly, he has not figured things out down there. You know, I don't want to cast doom upon him. I'm pretty well done with him. But, you know, it is ridiculous to just give up on a guy of that defensive ability without at least giving it a proper go. My opinion.
I don't know. We don't have any like ready AAA kind of prospects knocking at the door.
No, the entire AAA team is like 35 years old, except for Candelario, who you would assume will come up in September, which is good.
The Mudhens are good this year. They are, but they're all old guys. I mean, what do they have? Brendan Ryan or whatever playing for them, and just is Omar
still down there? Krizan.
Krizan's a little younger.
Yeah,
I think,
Juan Perez. Yeah, they have all kinds of names that that are interesting. So other than so let's move to the pitching side of it. Obviously, we would both like to see Joe Jimenez get some more meaningful innings this year. Any other pitcher that you would like to see get a little bit more run now, knowing that there's less pressure?
I don't know. I don't think anybody's particularly close. Do you?
No, I mean, I don't. I would say more or less just feel out the guys that we still have, you know, mix and match roles, see who responds to what. Stumpf is kind of the one guy that I look at and I think, yeah, maybe there's something a little bit there, which I think is a,
guess what? We're going to see a lot of Stumpf down the stretch, whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
Soppold and Stumpf. Ugh.
And it will be exciting to see Shane Green as a closer. If he could feel his fingers, he would be probably the best closer in baseball. I think he still has a good chance to be pretty solid, even not being able to feel him. So,
yeah.
So going back, before we tie a bow on this whole, what do we do now? Where do you stand on Iggy? When we're good again, Iggy is not going to be our starting shortstop. Dixon might be. How do you manage that? Obviously you can't just say, all right, Iggy, you're the Machado, and Machado, you're the starting shortstop. Like, it just doesn't work that way. No. But it has to come closer to some sort of even timeshare at this point, wouldn't you say?
I don't think even timeshare. You just got to mix them in a little bit more. A lot of people are on the extend Iggy bandwagon. You feeling the extension?
No, absolutely not. Like, here's the thing. We have seen I don't know when I turned the corner on Iglesias. He used to be one of the guys that I came to the ballpark, you know, twice a year to watch. But we know exactly what he is. He is a replacement level hitter who does flashy things and doesn't have a very good arm going to his right. We have no idea what Dixon is. Defensively, Dixon is very good. Could Dixon be a 300 hitter at the major league level? Probably not, but he's hitting that right now. I don't know. Yeah. I would like to see him get, you know, 3 or 4 starts a week, and I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
So you're suggesting we mix in more Dixon?
I think we can move to power rankings after that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Did we do it? Are you ready for power rankings?
Oh, yeah. Let's roll.
Okay. All right. So as you know, I've kind of been living out of a suitcase the last couple of weeks, and I miss my closet. Like, you put things in there, you know where it is. I like to stay a little organized. When you're living out of a suitcase with a bunch of other people, like, you feel like you got to put your stuff away and all this stuff. And I tell you what, packing makes you really prioritize your clothing, right? What are you going to take along? You know, what's your favorite article of clothing, or what? I don't know what it is about packing, but I like to have my favorite thing. I don't want to just bring any shirt when I'm going on a trip. I want the shirt that I want. So anyway, I've been thinking a lot about this, which might be frightening, but today I have for you articles of clothing.
I think we're always going to get here. It was just a matter of when.
Articles of clothing. All right. Starting at number 7 is socks. I don't like to go sockless. No. I refuse to wear shoes without a pair of socks. Like, I see these bros all the time, and they're wearing, you know, these dock shoes with no socks. And I'm like, this gotta be smelly. Don't your feet stink? Maybe I just have smelly feet. I don't know. I gotta have some socks on.
Yeah, socks are like the utility men of the wardrobe. You don't see them. It's better when you don't, but you have to have them there.
Yeah. So shout out to potential sponsor Sockbox.com, of course. Got to give Chris some love. Anyway, socks, they're fine. They're top 7. Number 6 is shoes. Shoes are great. They can be different styles. They protect your feet, you know. I don't know. I like to have a nice pair of shoes on.
How much pride do you take in your shoe game?
Not much. Not much.
Are you a classic white New Balance type of guy?
No, I refuse to wear New Balances because that's dad shoes. Well, and I know I'm a dad, and I rock the dad hat, but I cannot bring myself to wear New Balances. But I tell you what, I have resigned myself to. I only buy shoes off the internet now because I have wide, fat feet. And every time I buy a pair of shoes at the store and they're too narrow and they hurt me and I regret it. So now only wide.
Boom. That's wise. Just spreading wisdom.
Nobody cared about that. Why did I just say that? Okay. Geez, that was 6. Number 5, swimsuit. Swimsuit. Like, if you're wearing a swimsuit, you're probably having a good time.
True.
Yeah. Either you're swimming or it's summer and you're by the pool or by the lake or something. I do have a little sympathy for the ladies and even the men. I mean, you're rocking a swimsuit. You got a lot of flesh. You got a lot of flesh showing. You know, when it's beach time, no place to hide under that jacket, friends. You got the swimsuit going. People are seeing what you what you're featuring with a swimsuit. But usually it's a good time.
Are you a shirt off immediately type of guy? I could definitely see that.
Well, yeah, I gotta let people enjoy the pythons, right? No, I mean, if it's hot and if it's a beach setting, I'm taking my shirt off. But I'm not just taking my shirt off at the first opportunity, like some bro.
I enjoy taking the shirt off. The problem is the interior of my body is so white that, like, you really enter into, like, oh, man, I gotta get the lotion on if I'm gonna do that type of territory. And I hate the feeling of the suntan lotion on my hands, so it's really kind of a paradox for me.
Would you take your shirt off at a baseball game?
No, absolutely not. If I'm taking my shirt off, I absolutely would have, it would have to be a bathing suit type situation.
If I had a whole section to myself and it was a hot day, but if I'm near any people, I don't want my shirt
it's just
on.
Common courtesy.
I would say so. All right. Number four is pants. Especially jeans. Nothing really beats jeans. I like to wear, you know, nice jeans. It's just comfortable pants. They're very utilitarian.
Definitely.
They cover your lower half. What else can I say? That's four.
That's
they're a good garment.
What they are.
they're a good garment. Number three is a shirt. We talked about this a little bit. And I tell you what, nothing feels as nice as wearing your favorite shirt.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, you get a favorite t-shirt or something like that, rocking around your favorite shirt. Okay, number two is underwear. Underwear is kind of important, and I'll throw in for the ladies your bra. You know, bra and underwear. This is important garments. I don't like to go commando. Do you like to go to commando, Hall?
I don't think I ever have, so I guess I don't really have an opinion on the subject.
Well, before the next podcast,
I'm not doing this.
Do that. And then you report back. This is some research.
All of commission all of our listeners to do that.
Yeah,
do that, and then add us.
Tweet
and let
back
us know.
To me. Yeah, tweet back to the show how your commando experience went.
Yeah, we'll read off the best stories.
This is how science works. But no, underwear is important. It keeps all your items together. You know, makes you comfortable.
Yeah.
It's an important garment. Okay, now number one, you want to guess?
Well, for me personally, a quality zip-up hoodie is probably at the top of my list. I don't know if that's for you, but that's probably where I'm at.
That's not bad. But for me, it's shorts.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Shorts. If you're wearing shorts, it's a good day. You know, it's summer. I like the exposed legs. That feels nice.
Do the people around you like the exposed legs?
Doesn't matter. When I fly, I do wear shorts. Is that a faux pas?
Oh, absolutely not. I definitely would do too.
Okay.
I don't care what time of like year it is. If when we go to Florida in the winter, if I'm leaving Detroit and I'm landing in Fort Myers, I'm flying in shorts. I don't care. I want to be comfortable when I get there. I'll freeze in the meantime.
See, some people are like, you can't wear shorts on a plane because you're like your bare legs are touching somebody else's because you're crammed into a plane.
Nonsense.
Nah, I go with the shorts, too. I feel in shorts for. Anyway, that's number one. Bottom three, the worst, third from the worst is snow pants. If you're wearing snow pants, nothing good's happening. You know, the snow's getting up in there. It's melting down your boots.
And you're most likely snow blowing, which is literally the worst activity on the face of the earth.
You know they're a pain to get on.
That too.
You ever try to get a child in a pair of snow pants? No.
I definitely have not.
Don't ever do it. Never try to put a child in snow pants. It's like, you know, trying to make a sausage. You're trying to get the filling in there. It's stupid. Speaking of that, number two, and I don't have any personal experience with this, but I'm going to go with hose/stockings for the women.
I do not believe you don't have personal experience.
Hey, believe what you want. I mean, whatever. But I don't particularly like stockings or pantyhose on a woman. Just wear your bare, just have bare legs. That's fine. It's kind of old fashioned to have that.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Legs are normal. They're fine. Just do those.
Yeah. I don't understand why that was a thing or is a thing.
People back then had too much time.
I suppose.
They needed Twitter. That would have taken up all their time.
Then they wouldn't have had to wear a pantyhose. All right. Number one, worst garment. You got a guess?
No guess.
It is the tie. I hate wearing ties. Like, I'll do it. But if you're wearing a tie, it's something fancy. And there's, like, some special event where I have to talk to people and stuff. It's the worst. I hate wearing a tie. It feels constricting around your neck. They're never long enough, so I got to buy some long tie. Or the one that I have doesn't, you know, come low enough, and it's always flopping around and backwards. It's stupid. I hate wearing ties. It's dumb. Don't wear a tie. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right. So if it's okay with you, this week we're not going to talk about things that I saw on the side of the road. Are you good with that?
Yeah. Can we talk about last week's power rankings then?
Oh, yeah. I actually have somewhere else I want to go. But yeah, let's get into last week's power rankings first.
No, it'll be short. I thought Hook did a pretty good job.
Yeah.
I enjoy Serial a lot. And there was a few points of contention, but I thought the Serial rankings were overall pretty good.
So here's the thing with Serial is really there aren't too many bad Serials. It's just all different levels of this is good.
Yeah, I would say so.
So this week I want to talk about things that I saw in a garbage can in a Comerica Park men's room.
I did see that you were at a game.
I was there on Sunday with Whitney and her parents and brother. It was very warm. As you were mentioning, you know, the section by yourself while you're baking. We didn't have the section to ourselves, but we certainly baked. But I went into a men's room, and here is what I saw. I saw a pair of what appeared to be men's boxer brief underwear.
Okay.
They didn't appear to be messed, just like somebody had run out of use for them. My first question is, these were not yours, correct? These underwear, they didn't belong to you?
Do I have to answer this question?
I suppose you don't.
I mean, I wasn't at Comerica Park, but I suppose there's a chance they were mine.
But on a serious note, like, what are the circumstances that would lead someone to determine that the underwear that they are currently wearing is no longer a necessity? Like, did they have...
Maybe they had a backup pair.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, did they bring an extra pair? A hot day? They're just going to switch them out at the seventh inning stretch? Because I suppose that doesn't feel unreasonable.
Maybe they sharded in them. They didn't. Although you said they didn't appear to be messed, how closely did you investigate?
I mean, I went to like throw a paper towel in there, so that was about as close as I got.
You didn't get your nose in there. I wonder what's going on in here.
Get my investigative pencil and, you know, pry around. No, I didn't. I didn't really do that. I thought about it, but
CSI men's room, Comerica.
But it makes me wonder if you're the type that just like chucks your underwear willy-nilly. Like, are you using the stall to change out, or are you just, you know, out there in the open getting buck wild?
At that point, you've sacrificed your pride anyway. I say you just drop trial, you swap them out, good to go.
The funny thing is, it was the bathroom nearest the one of the entrances. Like, we were on our way out, so like a lot of people coming and going.
Wow,
but.
People are weird.
They are. But it was a really, really great game to watch. There was like, you know, I live in TC. We only get down to a few games a year. And usually when we go, Pelfrey ends up pitching, you know, that deal. Like that year that Brad Penny was in the rotation, I swear we saw him pitch like 12 times.
Hey, at least you got a lot of hours of baseball to watch then.
That is. It was a very long game on Sunday, too.
Yeah. Well, your dollars per time are good.
But J-Up hit the grand slam. We saw Romine made a really nice defensive play in right, and then he dropped in a bloop single between like the first baseman and right fielder. So it was pretty solid Romine game. And then
you were wearing your Romine shirt, of course. That's why he was inspired.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. We saw a position player pitch. The Astros first baseman Tyler White got on the hill when they were down like 12 runs or something, which I don't think I've ever seen live. So that was a pleasure. And
sounds like a fun time.
And of course, Verhagen got on the mound, and he was quickly met by a home run. So that part wasn't so great, but the rest of it was awesome.
I tell you what, if you are interested in going to see some baseball, the next couple months are going to be a good time to go. I saw for season ticket holders, they were running some special where you could get lower box seats for $8 a piece. I don't know if they're going to run any other specials, but if you go on StubHub or whatever, I'm sure you're going to be able to snag some cheap tickets. Now's the time to go see some guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't care if it means anything or not.
Okay, let's get into some Twitter questions. Are you ready?
Oh, my loins are girded with some underwear.
All right,
not with those underwear.
Not those ones. Different underwear. Yeah. Hookslide asks us, Tigers have two new third baseman prospects. Nick is as good as gone. So which podcast name are we going with, Podcast Lugo or Podcast Alario?
That doesn't make much sense, does it? Wouldn't it be Pod Candelari? That doesn't make sense either. We're just going to stick with Nick. Nick's going to be around forever.
And then Roger from the other Detroit podcast says that Podcast Alario sounds like a burrito in a bowl from Qdoba, which it absolutely does. Which makes
I had
me
Qdoba
think that
tonight.
Maybe, really? Good. Man, he didn't know how relevant that was going to be.
It's hot.
Just connecting dots all over the place. Mm-hmm. But anyway, both of those podcasts are excellent. I recommend that you listen to them. If you like us, you'll probably like them too. Yeah. Jeremy Troy asks us, since our Tigers are toast, who are you guys rooting for the rest of the way? He likes the Rockies, Diamondbacks, and the Cubs.
Diamondbacks and Cubs, just because they have our leftover guys.
Yeah, and I don't know. This Dodgers team feels like it's something special. I'm kind of rooting for them a little bit. And Houston a little bit, because I just saw them play. That's how my mind
you
works.
You want everyone to win, you know, as long as everybody's safe and has a fun time. Right, Hall?
Yeah. nobody gets hurt. That's what I'm looking for. All right. Matt Collins asks us, can you help us with a new Tigers drinking game? Something has to make the next 2 months enjoyable. Probably should have went over this one ahead of time. That we should work on that one for next week.
All right. That seems fair.
Also, I don't have a ton of experience in the subject, so...
You can get a nice soda going. It's pop.
At Joshua Gallup asks us, what are the likelihood of the Tigers taking Avila back again? Round three, right?
60%.
I'm going to go a little north of that. I think it's 75. Wow. I would be surprised if he doesn't come back, which is fine. Like he's done well for us.
What catcher prospects do we have that we need a catcher?
Yeah.
I mean, unless Hicks is really good or something like that.
Yeah, which he might be. I don't know.
Or bring your boy Holiday back.
When was Holiday my boy? That's not what I'm putting myself with.
All right. My boy Holiday.
Sure. At Viva T-Grace asks us, whose beard are we going to obsess over now that JD and Avila are gone? Which is a very good question.
I don't know. Maybe is that Jen? Maybe Jen can work on one.
They determined that I think Romine was the clear choice.
Oh, yeah.
But mm-hmm. I offer a Boyd. Boyd doesn't have a thick beard, but he does have kind of that scruff going. Boyd's kind of one of those low-key good-looking dudes. I'm surprised he doesn't get a little more play from the ladies.
Maybe you can, you know, pimp him out a little bit.
I don't know what that would look like, but I
spread the word a little, yeah.
Roger Martin, also of the Pod Candelario fame, asks us, Green or Jimenez as a closer, and your all-time favorite deadline trade?
Green, of course. Ultimate deadline trade. The one that's most vivid to me is getting David Price.
Yeah, that was a rush.
I remember where I was, and it was right at the deadline, wasn't it? Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that one was hot. I talked about this last week. The Jared Washburn deal. That one, for whatever reason, sticks out in my mind. We effectively ended his career, but, you know, that happens.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other big names that we got at the deadline. A couple of them didn't work out so good. Jose Mesa and junk like that. Ugh.
Okay, so let's kind of go through these quickly. Travis Frazier asks us, if you could pick three players to be guaranteed to stay in the system for the next 5 years, who would they be?
Fulmer is kind of the no-brainer. After that, it gets a ton harder.
I would go with Fietto second. I know Manning is like our top guy, but I think I like Fietto a little bit better. Just a little bit more well-rounded of a pitcher at this point. And for me, I'm going to go with King. King is the guy that I'm really super excited about. I mean, obviously, it'll be 5 years before he's even in contention to come up. But I've said last week, I believe he's the next Billy Hamilton, the next Trey Turner. And gosh darn, I'm sticking with that. And by that, I mean, I hope he is.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it'd probably be Manning next. He's so young, though. But he's the most toolsy guy. If you had to pick one guy to say, okay, who's the next Scherzer or Clayton Kershaw, it's Manning.
That's probably true. Yeah, Fiota's probably the next Fulmer. If we're strictly speaking stylistically. Yeah,
let's hope.
John Fine asks us, how many of these prospects will reach Cooperstown? I'm assuming a little bit of sarcasm there.
Yeah. How about this? Of those five guys, how many all-star appearances do you have?
If we got two, I'd be happy.
Two all-star appearances? Yeah, five. I think that. Yeah, I mean, that would be good.
That seems fair. All right, that pretty well does it for this week's show. Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here?
I missed you all so much. Good to be back.
Oh, I got to do the contact info. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can. Not podcastianos.com. We got rid of that crap. On Twitter, I should delete that from my notes because it is no longer active. At JordanHall23, that's me. At Comeric Eric, that's Eric. And at Podcastianos is the show. On Instagram, I am at Jordinio4. Eric is at Comeric Eric. Facebook.com/Podcastianos. And we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And remember, if you want to play fantasy football with us or fantasy footy with me, just hit me up at podcastianos@gmail.com. It'll be a good time or something like that.
We don't even have to try. It's always a good time. Whoa. You got to get running, huh? You got to see something.
What? Oh, I've been running. I just thought that underwear and a trash can was more significant than anything I've seen on the side of the road.
Should have just ran past it and said, "Oh, I saw this while running."
Feels like cheating. I want to keep the integrity of the segment.
Appreciate your integrity. Thank you.
With that being said, we will catch you guys next week and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.